new faces that I haven't met. Welcome. If you don't know who I am, I'm the Mr. Miyagi of Marin Vineyard. The real one is dead, so I'm resurrected. Let me continue with the song Make Room. So prophecy is something that you kind of try to hear from God, and you want to hear from God for others. So it's not about me, it's us hearing together. That's why prophecy, healthy prophecy, should be in a congregation, not private, so other people can test it and judge. So I mentioned about delay and disruption. Make room, I don't know the singer and all that, but I'm just going to connect with Genesis 26. Genesis 26 is when Isaac was in the land of the Philistine. And he was prosperous, and then he got kicked out a bit further. And as he go further, he needed to redig the wells because he got flocks and all that. And he went to the wells of Abraham, his father. So he's rightfully, in a way, his inheritance. The first well he dig, you know, the guys around the surrounding came and contend with him and say, get out, argue, you know. So that was, you know, so he like, okay, move on. So you can say that was a bit of disruption, delay, because he's like, hey, Father Abraham been promised a blessing. I'm his promised son. So the first well, there was a bit struggle. Then he moved on. Then he dig the second well. And second well, same thing. Hostility. So the first was like contention. The name of the place is like contention, you know, having to fight. And the second one was hostility, like, you know. And he didn't fight. He didn't fight. And that's the lesson about disruption and delay. Don't fight. It's like, God got this. Just move on. You know, don't carry the baggage of like disappointment, discouragement, or like defeat because the enemy is after you. So that was the second well. Then the third well he came. Surprisingly, no hostility. No contention, you know. So he say, ah, this is the broad space. God has made room for me. And God will make room for you because that's God's heart. And when God make room for you, there will be peace and prosperity. But it's the right time, the right place. So I'm saying to you, I just met this nice couple and I say to them, I'm looking forward to seeing you. They're like, I don't know who you are, but I like, you know, I was anticipating I will meet someone new, and there they are. And let me just share something, all right? You've been here and there everywhere. You've been here, there, everywhere. I don't know your journey, but you've been here, there, everywhere. And you're entering into your new phase, your new chapter. You know, something have happened, big decision. But it's still like, what's all this new chapter? Because I'm still here, there, everywhere. I still don't know what's God's plan. I think part of God's plans is for you in Adelaide. Again, I don't know you guys, all right? So if I'm making up, you kind of smile like, you know? Some prophets are like that. You fake it until you make it, all right? I'm being real here. So sometimes I fake it, but... So I related to Genesis 26. You've been redigging wells. You've been thinking, oh, maybe here, maybe there. Maybe God is giving you extra room here, broad space to flourish together. I think that together is important. Because that's your new chapter. It's how do you walk together? Amos 3:3 says, how can two walk together unless they agree? Amos 3:7 say, God will reveal his plan through the prophet. So be patient. I think this is a place for you to have peace and prosper. There was a couple more, but I can't remember. So I'll go into my sermon then. All right, sermon, please. So, Marie, if you were here, but if you're not here, it's all right too. Marie started off last week is, what is Christ Church? And she laid down that the foundation is Christ. Christ is a cornerstone. Without Christ, there's no foundation for any church. So what is Christ Church? I want you to pause and think about, what is Christ Church? So I'm not asking you about denomination. I'm not asking you, what's this church or that church? What is Christ Church? The word Christ, you probably remember Maria using Matthew 16, where he asked Peter, who do you think I am? Remember what Peter said? Anyone? Yeah? You are the Christ. It's Son of the Living God. You get 2 points for that, Chris. 2 points. All right, what is Christ Church? All right, next one. So the word that Christ used for his church is not a building. Some translate it as oikos. That's why they think of building. And very much the Roman Catholic from Constantine time thought it was the building. That's why you go to Europe, the architecture. It's just, to me, crazily beautiful. So ornate. Because they thought we are building God's house. All right? That was the thought. So we go to church, but what about being the church? What does it look like doing church? So this is a hard kind of concept. So are we church now? You know, 2 hours ago, were we not of a church? So what does that mean? You know, when you are doing your work Monday to Friday, are you in the church? Are you part of the church? So that's the translation. Romans time, the call out one, is where they gather to make decision, to discussing and make decision. Or it can be a gathering of people. So we actually do church. We're doing church now. You know, this moment where we corporately worship God, where we fellowship, you know, the word fellowship is kind of intimate, more than friendship. It's like, I'm connected to you. So that's doing church. So when we are away now, in 3 hours' time, what happened to the church? Scattered, maybe. All right, next one. So, in the gospel, there's only two mentions of the church, and it's in Matthew. I think the two mentions is because the church did not begin or hasn't begun yet because the Holy Spirit hasn't been released, or the resurrection Christ has not gone to heaven yet. All right? That's a picture I have. All right? So, I will build my church and the gates of Hades would not overpower it. So when Jesus said that, he was actually in Caesarea Philippi next to a hole. All right, the hole actually goes down where the people there believe that the devil comes up. So So that was the gates of Hades, the Pan God. And he was there and say, I will build the church and the gates of Hades will not prevail. I will squash it and it will not come out. But the church, the call out one, will keep increasing because I'm going to put a bottle stop for the gates of Hades to come through from the dark places. Then next word is, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. So two places, Matthew 16 and Matthew 18, and both words connect with the keys of the kingdom. So it's quite interesting. So I'm proposing to you, the church are meant to be the custodian of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is not the church. The church is not the kingdom of God. But they're connected in the church. The church in the human form, in the earthly form, need to manifest the invisible rule and reign of the heaven on earth. You got that? So quickly mention chapter 18 is about quarreling. You know, somebody sin against you and you don't like it, so you go to them and say, hey, you know, you did this to me. And then, not Maria, obviously, maybe Daniel, all right? And Daniel like, hey, Dad, you did this to me, and, you know, I'm going to tell MJ about it. So he will go off to MJ and say, you know, Dad doesn't want to deal with it. And then MJ say, let's go to the church, to the eldership. Oh, so it was in that context. So it was in context of resolving relationship. And then they say, whatever you bind on earth will be bound. So again, the keys of the kingdom. So the keys of the kingdom is the custodian of the kingdom of God. But the keys also is about relationship. It's about relationship, because the kingdom of God, according to Paul in Romans 14, 17, is about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So it's not about eating and drinking. It's again the spiritual relationship. So the church manifests the spiritual relationship that God intended in the first place to be manifested to the world, who cannot see the Holy Spirit, who doesn't stand about heavenly rule and reign. So that's what a part of the church is. Next one. It's good, isn't it? Thank you. Point there. All right, Maria brought out this scripture. In Christ, the whole building is joined. So that's why the confusion is this. You know, is Christ's church organic, the call out one, the gathering? And then suddenly Paul confuses. In Christ, the whole building is joined together, rises to become the holy temple in the Lord. And then Paul also say, in you is the temple of the Holy Spirit, your body. Because the Spirit come to inherit, indwell in your heart. And in him, in Christ, you two are being built together. The building is together. You on your own can't be the church. That's the important part. You alone can't be on the church. You are part of the church. And your identity, your destiny is being part of each other. You know, you look around, I look around, there's no one like me, praise the Lord, you know, and then you look around, there's no one like you, but it's us together that is being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Again, where does the Spirit live? It dwells in our heart, but also collectively when we come together in the name of Jesus, when we come together and worship corporately, when we come together to fellowship, that's the church. And that's the beauty of it, because we are better together. There's no lone ranger in Christianity. There's no lone ranger. You won't survive. You won't survive. Your spirituality will be distorted if you try to do it on your own. Next verse, please. Next one? Okay. So I'm saying the church, the call out one, the people who come in the name of Jesus, they are the custodian of the kingdom of God on earth. So in Ephesians 3, 10 to 12, it says, so that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church, the people called by his name, to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. Can you see the connection? What we do on earth manifests not only to the people around us, it's basically declaring war, cosmic war, to say, hey, gates of Hades, the power of Hades, you can't touch the church, but we will manifest the wisdom of God to you all. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose. That's the eternal purpose of God, to put us together and say, you are it, you are the body of Christ. So this is according to the eternal purpose which he carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and confidence and access through faith in him. So again, together we have the boldness and confident access through faith in Christ, because the power, the peace, the presence of God is in us and is with each other. We are better together. That's the synergy of the Spirit. You know, one will put 1,000 to flight. Two will put 10,000 to flight. That's the exponential when you come together. When you come in agreement, when you come in harmony, in the symphony of the Spirit. Next one, please. My mouth gets dry. Can I have some water? So, ponder, pause, cause to pause. Do you have a mic? No. So the question is, Jesus said, I will build my church. Then the next question is, do we have a part in building his church? Jeremy so kindly nod. Tim nod along with Jeremy. You are a leader. Tim just follow you. Good on you. All right? So how do we contribute to Christ's church? Is it important that we contribute? Is it important that we know or don't know that we actually have a role? We have a part to play. Let's look at the next slide. I bring out John 15 because, again, you know, John is a gospel where John, in his old age, some people think is about in his 90s, looking back on what Jesus has said. And in John's gospel, again, he did not mention anything about the church. But in John 14, 15, 16, 17, he mentioned a lot about relationship. Relationship with God, relationship with the Holy Spirit, you know, how the Holy Spirit come. And in John 14, that's where we have Jesus say, I am the way to the Father. I am the truth about the Father. I am the life with the Father. So there's a connection. And in John 15 is where Jesus say, I am the vine. You are the branches. There's a connection again. Apart from him, you can do nothing. So I bring this up because you did not choose me, Jesus said, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit. All right? It's a connection to the vine. So as a body too, if you don't grow and change, means you're dying. You go and bear fruit. Not any kind of fruit, but fruit will remain and last. Why? So that you can participate and say, Father, what are you doing? I want to be part of it. You know, with childlike faith, they say, Father, whatever you do, I want to do. Whatever you say, I try to say. That's why you can ask whatever you ask in my Father's name, in my name, he may give it to you. Next scripture. So God chose you. God chose you to put you among his people, the body of Christ. Some of you may know this, World War II, there was a church in Europe that got shattered, and they found the statue of Jesus Christ. It was shattered, so they tried to repair. And then eventually, the hands, the feet of the statue was too hard to repair. So they're like, his face is still there, his body is still there. They say, let's put it up. And then someone, they kind of don't know, and they say, Christ has no feet but yours. Christ has no hands but yours. So that's been repeated because we can visualize like, yeah, you know, Christ is not here. So how does Christ manifest himself in you, me, and us? Next one, please. So scripturally, that's why we have the body of Christ, different version. And Paul uses it in 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12. But I'm just going to use 1 Corinthians 12. For even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, when we talk about many, those past, the last 2,000 years, we don't know where they are, but they're still part of the church. Though there are many, are one, so also is Christ. So the emphasis is Christ is not fragmented. Christ is not divided. Even though we disagree with our brothers across the road, you know, our brothers who don't talk about our doctrine, who don't practice the way they do, Christ say, no, I'm only one. That's my time to stop, man. Give me 5 more minutes. All right, run through it. For the body is not one member, but many. All right? Now you are Christ's body and individually members of it, which means we are interdependent. If you want full life of Christ, you need to connect with one or two. At least one or two. All right? That intimate connection. And then you're part of 150. You know, you can't relate to everyone, but that one and two is very important. Keep going. Next one? Yeah. All right. So this is part of 1 Corinthians 12 again. So that there may be no division in the body. Brothers and sisters, if you want to answer Christ's prayer in John 17, don't cause any division. Don't be part of any division. Be part of the peace and the unity in the body. Find a way to connect. Major on the major. Most of the things we argue about is very trivial. All right? There's no division. There shouldn't be any division. The members may have same care for one another. Same care for one another. Care for the church member who is on the other side of the road, who doesn't have the same logo as you. That's what he's saying, because you are part of them. Not just Marin Vineyard, we are small, so it's easy for us to connect. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer. You know, if you say that your toe is not connected to your head, all right, just take a hammer and bang your toe a bit. See whether you feel it up here, all right? Now you are Christ's body and individually members of it. I put Christ's bride because that is the end goal. We here are not very, sorry, some of you are beautiful. Some of us are not that beautiful, but we are called to beautify the body to get ready to be the bride of Christ. I can't wait, man. I can't wait to put on the wedding gown, you know. I can't wait. What it's like to be a woman, you know. But that's the kind of language God talk about. It's like, okay, you're a man, so what? You know, in Christ there's no male nor female. And that's, if you have the heart, when you look at a woman, you're like, wow, she's as good as, actually, she's better than me. You know, rather than, I'm a man, therefore I need to be the ruler of the household and all that. That's another topic, all right? But no division. All right, next one. We'll quickly go. Preach it, Marissa. All right. So Romans 12 talk about, as God has allotted us with the measure of faith. I love Romans 12, but no time to do that. We all have a measure of faith, and we also have a grace gift. That's how we contribute. Not just our natural time, talent, treasure, but we actually have spiritual faith and spiritual grace gift. If you don't come, if you don't connect in the gathering of the people, I'm going to miss out. You know, I'm going to miss out on Jeremy. I just love that. When you do that, team follow. I get double confirmation. I keep looking at you guys. Good on you. You know what I mean? For just as we are many members. How many members? Countless. The church is advancing. The kingdom of God are moving aggressively. The church is not dying because the gates of hell will not prevail. So no matter what the social media say, the church is growing. It's not stopping. All right. All the members do not have the same function. So we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. We got different part, different role to play. All right? I'm not a musician, but if you have a band, you know, and if one member missing, if you're a great musician anyway, you conductor, you will pick it. So one note is missing. I don't know how it works, but the symphony, you know. So that's how it is with the body. That's why we say, come along. Come along, because we need you. Even if you don't say anything, just your presence, your worship, make that connection. Next one, please. All right. This just emphasizes the grace gift. There's nine of them. Look through it. It's a core gifts. Sorry, seven of them. There's nine spiritual gifts. The spiritual gift is pneumatic, means of the spirit. The grace gift in Romans 12 does not speak of the spirit. It's actually a grace gift. Gift that God give you the grace to be and do what the Father wants. A slight difference, slight emphasis, and use it with the measure of faith. So your measure of faith can grow as you practice your grace gift. Next one, please. All right, summary of the grace gift that Romans 12 talk about, and 1 Peter also talks about it. Each is allotted a measure of faith. So don't say you don't have faith, because God said, no, I've given you. You just use whatever you have, be faithful with that. You have different grace gifts, and we are interdependent. Grace gifts are all different but essential, and we are stewards of the manifold grace of God. So in Ephesians, Paul talks about the church going to display the manifold, many color of the wisdom of God. And within the church, we have that display of manifold grace of God. So use your grace gift to bless others. Use your grace gift to glorify God. Next one, please. All right. So I'm going to pray. You pause and then see whether the Spirit talks to you on anything. Father God, we thank you that you've chosen us, and you've chosen us, and you put us in a body, whatever shape it is, and you want us to play a part. So we ask, Lord, that you help us to understand that. It is you who assign us to different churches. In John 15, you know, it talks about the fruit. There's no fruit if there's no roots. You need to plant yourself somewhere. Put your roots down. Whatever shape that church is, whatever function, you will bear fruits if you put your roots down. You know, if you go here, there, everywhere, it's very hard to bear fruits because your roots are not in the ground, and the vine and the branches is not well connected. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, no pressure, no sense of guilt, because that's not your voice, no sense of condemnation. It's always an invitation. The Father invites us to say, hey, come and do what I'm doing. Like Jesus said, I'm building the church. So be part of that building, be part of the action, because those are the good works that God had prepared in advance for you, because the church exists for the world. The world can't see Jesus Christ except through us. And the greater unity we have, the greater picture we can present to the world, how much Jesus loves them. It is through unity among brothers and sisters that the world will see that Jesus came in love, grace, and truth. Next one, please. Next one. All right, I'll finish there because that is another... Actually, let me quickly go through. All right, this guy, Dan Vreeland, is a church coach guy, church help kind of thing. He said, you know, what's the business of the church? Now we come down to the practicality, all right? One is to present the gospel. You know, the foundation is Christ. It's all about Christ. Christ came, died, rose again. That's the message. And it's through grace that we receive. Then the next one, the church exists to care for those who are marginalized and hurting. You know, Christ is still the same. He will reach out to the poor, the marginalized, those that our society push aside. Next one, please. All right. And then the church, within the church, is the culture that we grow disciple of Christ. We come together and say, hey, what's your story with Christ today or this week? You know? And we spur each other on to good works. We spur each other on to the goal that Christ set for us. Discipleship, right from pre-Christian all the way as we keep growing. Lifelong learner in Christ. Pray for human needs in a hurting world. If my people who call by my name do not pray, if my people do not humble themselves, how are we going to see healing in Australia? How are we going to healing among the different people of diverse philosophy, culture? How are we going to see unity if God's people do not pray? And then this church will continue. When Maria and I decided to go to the heavenlies, the church will continue. You know, so if we don't harness the youth today and we don't tell them and give them permission to say, you are the church now. You are not the next generation. You are it. Let's see how we connect. Let me pray and then we'll worship. So, Father, we thank you. It was your great plan, purpose to put us together in church. We are the call out one from the world. You call us out from the world, but you call us also to be in the world, but not of the world anymore. So, would you help us as a group of brothers and sisters in Christ how to do church in a way that manifests your grace, that manifests the wisdom of God, not only to the heavenlies, to the spiritual power, but to those human beings that is perishing if they don't hear your good news, if they don't receive your truth, if they don't believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. So we surrender ourselves, we humble ourselves and say, Lord, help us. Come, Holy Spirit. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be upon us. May we experience deeply the love of our Father in our hearts and in our homes. May we walk with the Spirit. May the sweet communion, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. In Jesus' name, amen.
Can I invite you to stand?